The wrongs, we must right. The fights, we must win. The future we must secure together for our nation. This is what's in front of us. This determines what's next for all of us. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The US government, along with Ireland and the UK, announced that America was offering a $5 million reward for information about each of the Kinahan family leaders of that cartel.
When you see the DEA are on their case, you're up there with the most wanted globally. You're in the league of Pablo Escobar, Chapo Guzman. They've come a long way.
The United States Department of State is pleased to announce a reward of up to $5 million for information leading to the financial disruption of the KTCO or the arrest and convictions of its leaders, Christopher Vincent Kinahan, Daniel Joseph Kinahan, and Christopher Kinahan Jr. The United States will bring their leaders to justice, no matter where they are.
Well, that's a clip from the new four-part series on the Kinahan cartel, which looks at the family's rise from small-time Dublin drug dealers to a notorious criminal organisation with global power. It aired the first part on BBC last night. I'm joined by Nicola Tallant, investigations editor with the Sunday World, author, producer, podcaster, who features extensively in the programme. Nicola, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I watched the first part last night and it's a bit of a primer for those who haven't a clue really about the cartel and how it began, because it goes back to the very origins of Christy Kinahan, how he started and who he is.
It does. And I suppose this programme is actually made not only for an Irish audience, but also for a UK audience who might not be familiar with that. They are probably familiar with the name Kinahan now, largely due to Daniel Kinahan's links into professional boxing and for other reasons. But they might not know the backstory. And really, like all stories, knowing where to start is always a conundrum, whether you're writing a book, creating a podcast, whatever it is. And usually, no matter how often you do it, the best place is usually the very beginning. And that's exactly what the programme makers have done. It brings us back to Dublin, to an ambitious young, middle class guy with a lot of opportunities who watches Larry Dunn's demise and moves in to try and take over his role as the main heroin supplier.
And we shouldn't forget Larry Dunn's role in what I would regard as the demise of many of the inner city communities. I mean, he was, if you like, the most evil of them, because he started something. There was no heroin in Dublin. Maybe he saw it happening in other cities, how much money was to be made. But he introduced heroin to the capital and it resulted in so many teenage deaths, so many deaths of siblings, families destroyed by Larry Dunn's work.
He did. And, you know, it was pure and utterly for greed, because he got a good deal on heroin because of what was happening in Iran. It was in supply in Europe. You could buy it cheaply. And he you know, could see the addiction of it and was actually pumping it into certain communities, often giving out the first fixes for free to children. So that really was, for sure, the beginning of the destruction of parts of Dublin and beyond.
Now, when we see the opportunism of Kinnan, he was a small-time kind of huckster, making money, bouncing checks and so on, and then he saw this opportunity. It didn't mean that he was home free, because he ended up in prison fairly early on in his drug-dealing career.
Yeah, he was caught with heroin in Dublin. He's actually been in and out of prison quite a bit, Christy Kinnahan. He kind of gets caught a little bit, but not, you know, he's never got a massive sentence. I think he got 6 years here in Ireland. But of course, he went into prison, met with his later business partner, John Cunningham, who was one of the Jennifer Guinness kidnappers. And together they decided they were getting out of here and they were going to become wholesalers. They moved to Amsterdam, where they, you know, began sort of the origins there of the global Kinnahan cartel.
But it's extraordinary. He's in prison and he's offered an early release. This is Christy Kinnahan. And he says, no, I'm studying for my Russian degree and my Spanish degree. So if I go out, I won't be able to study. You know, it'll be very hard. There's so many distractions. So I'll stay in prison.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, it's not actually covered in that programme, but when he was going into prison, he told the judge that he was only dealing because he had a heroin addiction and he wanted to. He used a system like to educate himself. So the taxpayer actually educated him. And many years later, when I was in Spain, where he had a very luxurious house, I remember just having a moment and looking at this property that he was living in and thinking, you know, so many people go into prison and it can be an opportunity for them to rehabilitate, to be educated, to come out and to become a better person. He used it to become, you know, a major player on the global drug trafficking scene. And of course, he was learning Russian. Russian is standing to him now, because all these years later, the Kinnahan organization are dealing with Russian regimes and they're, you know, they're working with them to transport drugs across the world and to launder money. And they probably would have a welcome in Russia should the United Arab Emirates ever decide to hand them back.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
To realize the future America needs, we understand what's needed from us. To face each threat head on, we've earned our place in the fight for our nation's future. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, in the program itself, you actually mentioned that the implosion of the Kinnan Empire was actually beginning. When you look at it now, it doesn't seem to have imploded. I mean, they're still doing their business. They're still at liberty. No sign of them being, even though the Americans are after them big time, no sign of their demise.
Well, they've a few big problems, really. They have got the Americans been after them, which is probably their biggest problem. I would think of all places, they'd nearly welcome coming back to Ireland rather than going to the States. Because if you get convicted there, that's it. Curtains. I mean, Joaquim El Chapo Guzman of the Sinaloa cartel, he's in a supermax prison, 23 hours a day locked up, and he ain't ever going to see the light of day again. And that's the way the American system works. So they have the Americans after them, We have, from Ireland, we have just signed an extradition agreement with the United Arab Emirates. There's an awful lot going on politically. And this story has actually become political. It's all political, bureaucratic tape now. But the fact of the matter is, they will be before a court, undoubtedly. Nobody sort of gets away with when they're, as Michael O'Sullivan actually says in the documentary, nobody, you know, when you're on those posters, when your face is up there, you really are, you know, properly wanted. And they have their freedom still, but how long more for? And they certainly aren't looking into the future of, you know, a nice retirement. They will be pursued. And even if they, you know, even if the Emirates continue to drag their heels as they have been with handing them back, even if they do move to Russia, they're very unwelcoming territories that they have left to go to. You know, there's the various suggestions that they might find sanctuary also in Iran, but they're not really going to be able to live that same lifestyle. And you do wonder how long they can stay. It always amazes me that they, like, they still have family here. They still have friends. That's still their home. And to be completely denied ever coming back or ever, you know, walking your own land again, is, it must be strange. But I suppose you need the personality in the first place to go into drug trafficking and get there.
Now, the first programme covers the Regency murder, and it's now called the Bonington Hotel. So, you know, that features the fact that there was a name change, and you can see why they would want to change the name. And it talks about the feud that happened between the Hutch family and the Kinnan family. I suppose, started by which of them?
Well, it's like all sort of big organised crime groups, they usually do implode. And it's usually a mixture of jealousies, perhaps accusations of touting or of money going missing. It started because of a row between Gary Hutch and Daniel Kinahan. They were the glue that held those two groupings together, that really were together and formed the Kinahan cartel. And there's all sorts of stories goes on about where it started. I think really there was a little bit of jealousy in the mix. I think that Gary Hutch seems to have invested money into the cartel. He felt he wasn't getting it back quick enough. He felt he was owed money. But ultimately, at the same timeline, you see Daniel Kinahan, who was once his best friend, Hutch's best friend and equals, and you see him moving in a trajectory into the stratosphere, really, with all this. He is looking at becoming the most important figure in world boxing. And he's also looking at moving his father's, what he inherited from his father, this European cartel, onto the global stage. And I think he's so ambitious, there's no room for Gary Hutch on that pathway. And they just fell out. And Gary Hutch, or certainly the Hutch organisation or associates of, made a number of attempts on Daniel Kinahan's life. The Regency would have been the third one. And, you know, that was it. There was no going back after that. So, you know, we saw what happened really in Dublin was very heavily affected by that for a number of years afterwards. 18 murders, most of them happened here. You know, it has sort of faded away a little bit. Those dangers are there for the protagonists and those involved, and they always will be. But as that all happened, you know, the Kinahan organisation moved to the next level because they moved everything and physically out to Dubai.
Now, on the way, of course, they went to Amsterdam initially, then we had southern Spain, the tentacles went into the UK, and now their resting place, if you like, is Dubai. To what extent is the money still rolling in?
Well, I mean, they're still shipping. They're in a position that they're able to do deals and ship like enormous motherloads of cocaine across the world. So the money is undoubtedly still rolling in. Funny enough, you mentioned the UK. There's a very interesting, I think it's episode 3, and the programme makers have access to some undercover surveillance, which was placed on Bomber, Thomas Bomber Kavanagh, who was the UK operative of the Kinahan. He was almost a partner of Daniel Kinahan. And he has been taken down and taken out. But you're watching with the police the surveillance operations that are going on. And at one point, there's a guy called James Mulvey, who's a very significant player. He's eventually caught and jailed. But they're watching him. And it's a day when there's been a murder in Spain. One of the Kinahan crew has been taken out by his own, and he's talking about it. And this is a big, tough guy. Like, you really wouldn't want to mess with your man, James Mulvey. But he's terrified. You can hear the way he's talking. And that's really the power of the Kinahans. They terrified their own. So they kept the loyalties, and they were able to, you know, it's almost nearly a cult-like structure at this stage. Nobody will go against them. They have beaten the systems a number of times. They've told people working with them that they will beat the systems. And when they do, they become more empowered and more powerful.
Well, it's an extraordinary story unfolding week by week. If you missed episode one, you can watch it next Tuesday, the 8th of April on BBC One at 10:40 in the evening. And by the way, the Kinahan lawyers, the right of reply, they say, despite the programme makers' efforts, the Kinahan family did not engage in the making of the series. But a lawyer for the family said rumours and theories about them have not been tested in court. And a massive investigation by five countries ended with a dismissal of the main charges against them. What do you make of that?
Well, there's plenty of law enforcement authorities around the world, including our own, ready to test them in court, I can tell you.
All right. Thank you very much. Nicola Tallant, investigations editor with the Sunday World, author, producer, podcaster, and someone who features extensively in this series. Nicola, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The wrongs we must right. The fights we must win. The future we must secure together for our nation. This is what's in front of us. This determines what's next for all of us. We are Marines. We were made for this.